You're listening to the Ladbrokes Transfer Update. For all the latest transfer news and gossip, head to news.ladbrokes.com. And for the latest odds, check out ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet.
Hello and welcome along to the Transfer Update. My name's William Geldart. Today I'm joined by a full complement of the Ladbrokes News team with Dave Buren, Rich Marsh and Alex Apati chomping at the bit. And we also have PR man Alex Donoghue along for the ride as well. In this week's episode, we'll be discussing the players who need to move on and find pastures new, the best potential re-signings, and we'll also have a teaser of what to expect from Ladbrokes News on transfer deadline day. So without much further ado, let's get on with the show. So the players who need to move on, find pastures new. Some big themes this week. I'm going to start off with an obvious one, Joe Hart. And Alex, as you're Alex Donoghue, as you're an Evertonian, I'm going to get you first on this one. So Everton, I mean, he's 5-4 to go to Everton. He's 5-6 to go to Sevilla. Maybe you'll be able to explain that one for us. But in your opinion, as a fan as well, Joe Hart, would you welcome him? And is it time? Is it time he got the message from Pep and really got his way out of it, the Etihad?
So I'd say first and foremost, as a fan, absolutely you would welcome him, because I think it's the kind of statement transfer or even loan that suggests that it's a big enough club to attract England's number one goalkeeper. Once upon a time, you would think that players like that wouldn't come to Everton. So that's whatever you think about what he can add from on the pitch, that's definitely the kind of deal that gets fans excited, that makes fans think, yeah, we're a big club, you know, we attract these kind of players. So that's one tick. It's interesting because obviously Stecklenburg, highly rated keeper, has already come in. You thought that the business had already been done there. So that would be interesting to see from the perspective of Everton, thinking that actually Joe Hart be brought in straight away as the number one. Speaking to Rich on the way in here, though, we did think that is Joe Hart basically running at the first sign of being, you know, under a little bit of pressure for the number one spot? We know Caballero played a little bit last year, but literally he's... Sometimes goalkeepers and good goalkeepers, they stay, they scrap for their places, sit on their bench, they come back in when they get the chance, they play well, and they reassert themselves as the number one. So it's interesting that he might up sticks. We wonder what Pep said to him behind closed doors. Now, from a betting perspective, we know that Everton were the favourites originally. They've been backed into odds on, but then today there's been a big move for Sevilla, so maybe he fancies some sunnier climates in Spain as opposed to Goodison. So at the moment, they're the favourites, but I think I'd be interested to hear what the guys here think, whether or not it would be a better move from a non-fans perspective, Sevilla or Everton.
My concern with the Sevilla move, which hasn't really been talked up about so far, is his England prospects. New managers come in, Sam Allardyce. And rumours are that he's quite keen to bring in Forster from Southampton into the England fold. Hart was already under some pressure before the Euros, and he didn't have a very good Euros either. Statistically, he was pretty poor. So a move for Sevilla, for me, really puts him on the back foot even more on an international scene, and I just wonder how much that will play on his mind with this decision that he needs to make.
All right, Alex, other Alex, you want to jump in on that one as well?
Yeah, just a quick one on the Sevilla move. I think putting England to one side, it'd be good to have Joe Hart or an England player, you know, move and play abroad. And I think if we're looking at a loan deal, which is something that's been spoken about, La Liga seems a good, obviously a great standard for Joe Hart to be playing in. And the style of play that Pep Guardiola wants for his goalkeeper, obviously I think Joe Hart can pick up a lot playing in a Spanish league, you know, quite football based.
So just one more thing though, on Everton, even if the Joe Hart deal did fall through and he was to pick Sevilla, I've been speaking to a couple of journalists on Merseyside this week telling me that do expect Everton to remain active in the transfer, and also perhaps think about Romelu Lukaku staying put as well. The Bolasie deal, I spoke to a Palace fan the other day who said he thinks that could be the deal of the transfer window. Maybe not so sure about that, but we'll see where that one goes. But expect Everton to stay busy. So we'll be talking about the markets we will be offering later on. But do keep an eye on Everton, who I have been told will stay very busy right up until the window slams shut.
All right. And finally, you, Dave. What have you got to say on Joe Hart?
I think Joe Hart, his experience and his class, they say form is temporary, class is permanent. I think that's very true with the keeper of Hart's ability. He's a fantastic shot stopper. He's very good at coming for crosses, He's assertive, and I think players like that should be playing at the highest level. Now, there's no European football this season for Everton, but Sevilla are into the Champions League group stages. So I think, to maybe counter Rich's point a bit about England, I think if he's playing in the Champions League, especially if Sevilla get to the knockouts and Hart has a chance to prove himself against some of Europe's best strikers, I think that's actually probably his best chance of cementing his number one spot for England. I think it benefits English players to play abroad in a cultural sense, in understanding the way that the game is played on the continent. I think it'd be a great buy for Everton if they can get him, but from the player's point of view, I think Sevilla would be the better move.
Alright, let's move on to another one at much shorter odds. Christian Benteke, linked with Crystal Palace for a while now. He's 5-2 on to move to the Eagles. So does that say to us that's a done deal? And would he be the answer to Crystal Palace's goal-scoring problems? Rich?
I think he certainly would be an improvement. Palace had a nightmare last season trying to find strikers who would score goals. I don't think anyone scored more than five in the Premier League last year. He is the answer, and he is also a good option for Benteke himself. He's not going to get any game time at Liverpool, and Palace represents a Villa-esque club for him to be the main man again. And Palace need to spend that sort of money, because the midfield these days in the Premier League, the mid-table, are spending big money. My concern is, as we just said, Balazi's gone to Everton, and I thought those two would have really hooked up well. But now it seems Balazi's going to do that with Lukaku instead. But I think Benteke to Palace will go ahead, and it's a good move for player and club.
I had the misfortune, sorry Palace fans if you're listening, of going to Selhurst Park for the opening day of the season. I was dragged along by Palamine, who's a Crystal Palace fan. It became very lovely ground, lots of fun, lots of noise, but football on the pitch became very apparent that Palace do need a striker, they need a target man, they need a big man that they can get the ball to. They're trying to play a very intricate game, the likes of Townsend coming in, where they can try and be a bit cute about it. But I think at times you saw a very direct goal from West Brom win the game, and I think Palace could have benefited with a bit of that. Obviously Benteke fits all of those criteria. Now, what I would say also about Palace, there's already a gamble developing on Alan Pardew being the first manager to be sacked this season. He was 6-1, he was 5-1, he's now into around 3-1, so punters already think that things might be getting a little bit restless at Crystal Palace. So if they can get this deal done, maybe it buys Pardew a bit more time. But if this deal doesn't go through and Palace have another bad result the weekend, keep an eye on that price, because there's already a gamble developing on Alan Pardew getting sacked first this season.
All right, we will watch that one with interest. As I said, signing of Benteke's ilk could do a lot to lift the pressure on Alan Pardew. Another striker then, Saido Berahino. He's 4-6 to go to Stoke. They're in pole position apparently for his signature. This one seems to be going on for about the last three transfer windows. Is this a case of a player needing to move? Do you think it would be best for all parties if we just put this one to bed?
I think for West Brom it would. The saga, as they had with the Peter Adamwingie saga, it's just kind of rumbled on. I don't think it will do any good for dressing room morale to have a player who obviously wants to be elsewhere. In footballing terms, I think Berahino would be a good signing for Stoke. You look at the current options they've got up front, the likes of Crouch and Arnautovic, kind of big, muscly target men. Crouch isn't really muscly, but big target men. And then you've maybe got someone like Berahino coming in, who's got a bit more pace, who's a little bit trickier on the ball, quite a sort of fleet-footed player, who could get onto those knockdowns and gobble up those goals. So I think, in a footballing sense, he certainly would be. I think there's questions over his attitude, but Mark Hughes is a very good man manager, and if Berahino is going to revive his career anywhere, I think Stoke would be a good place to start.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to stick with you because you covered this morning for Ladbrokes News. Mario Balotelli, this is probably the craziest rumour of the summer. He is 6-1 to go to Wolves and 9-1 to go to Port Vale. And just for those who aren't in the know or haven't heard this story, so Mario Balotelli, Man City misfit, Milan misfit, whatever you want to call him or label him. He's gone to Jose Mourinho, one of his old mentors, for some career advice. And apparently he's going to end up, well, either in the Championship at admittedly cash-rich Wolves or in League One with Port Vale. So, Dave, maybe you can shed a bit of light on this.
You say it's one of the craziest stories, William, and certainly on paper it is, but there's a bit of logic behind each of these moves if they were to take place. Wolves, obviously quite a lot of money behind them, and if they can bring Balotelli in and he can be the man to rejuvenate a big club like Wolves and get them back into the Premier League, he's got another shot at playing top-flight football again. obviously Port Vale, actually, Bruno Ribeiro, their manager, is someone Mourinho is close to, knows very well from Portuguese football. They're both involved at União de Leiria, probably pronounced that wrongly, but around the same time. 9-1 for that move. Obviously shows a lot of ambition from Vale. We'll see. There are certainly reasons it could happen. Balotelli, I think, wants to carry on playing football in England. That's obviously not going to be at Liverpool. He's been frozen out there, and he wouldn't be the first player to take a step or two down to come back up again.
All right, well, Dave, last week's pod, you were all over Marcus Rojo to Swansea talking that one up, and now Balotelli. I think you are actually secretly an agent. You make a very impassioned case, and a very reasonable one, I might add, for Mario Balotelli to go to either Wolves or Port Vale. Let's move on then from players who need to move on to best re-signings. And the trigger for me for this segment was Yordi Gomez going back to Wigan. So in a roundabout way. I looked at a few others as well. Obviously, Robbie Fowler to Liverpool and Nemanja Matic to Chelsea. But what about this summer? Who'd make a cracking re-signing, possible re-signing? I'm going to open this one to the floor. Alex, Aparti, I'm going to start with you as an Arsenal fan, a Gooner. Cesc Fabregas back to Arsenal, 14-1. Bit of value in that sort of player. Do you think Arsene Wenger, would bring back into the fold?
No. I think the amount of midfielders that Arsene Wenger's got at his disposal at the minute just, you know, shuts the door right on that idea. But sticking on the Arsenal front, in terms of reunions with other clubs, I'd be looking at Theo Walcott, maybe a deadline day deal back to Southampton. Obviously, they've lost Graziano Pelle and Sadio Mane this summer. And, you know, if Arsenal are to bring in another striker, as Wenger said, that's his intention for the remainder of the transfer window now. Obviously, that puts Walcott somewhere down the pecking order. He might end up back at St Mary's. That's my opinion.
All right, well, Theo Walcott to Southampton, we've had that price as well. That's 25-1. You mentioned Arsenal, having too many midfielders. Well, that's their thing. That's why Fabregas, that's exactly the reason why he might fancy a reunion back at the Emirates. How about anyone else? Cesc back to Arsenal, do you think that would make sense?
I'm not sure it would make sense, but necessarily, I think you're right about the midfielders. I think if the point Alex makes, Walcott to Southampton, it all sounds pretty logical. 25-1 sounds like a big price. To me, it would certainly be one to excite everyone on deadline. One that might not necessarily go through this summer, but has been talked of for a while, and again, people on Merseyside that I talk to think might one day happen, is Wayne Rooney to come back and play for Everton, because maybe he then wants to be involved in the management setup there or something like that. So I don't think it's one we have priced up for this season. It would be a very, very big price to happen this season. But let's just see if in a few years to come, it's Wayne Rooney to Everton. Dave, you're a Man United fan, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it could well happen. There was discussion of that earlier this season. I think it was somewhere around the 10-1 mark for this summer. Doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but I think it would make sense for Rooney. He's got a lot of experience, and he can play, obviously, that holding midfield role as well. I think he would struggle at the very top level for United if they're getting back into the Champions League. And in terms of strikers, Mourinho's faith seems to largely be in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, at least for now. Marcus Rashford coming through as well, Anthony Martial. So I think it might make sense for Rooney to move back to Everton, and I think he'd be welcome with open arms, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Keep an eye out for that one. I think we should get that price to chuck it out there via @Labrooks on Twitter, and of course via Labrooks News as well. Let's have a look then down the list. So Rich, Wilfred Bonny to Swansea, I've had that price, that's 16-1. Let's face it, he's not probably going to get a lot of game time this season. He did alright at Swansea, didn't he? So there's another logical link. Maybe we're playing a bit of devil's advocate here, but there is definitely some foundation.
No, there certainly is, and 16-1 is pretty tempting if you ask me. Swansea are very hit and miss with their strikers in the Premier League, but Bonny was certainly a hit, and it was understandable why City went for him at the time and why he moved, but neither the club nor the player now need each other for their own benefits. Swansea probably aren't as good as they were last season, a couple of seasons ago rather, but if he went back there he would straight away be the main man once again. So this may be, for Bonny at least, more of a stepping stone once again to somewhere else, maybe abroad. I know Swansea got Llorente, so that could be a pretty tidy partnership for them this season if that happened. And 16-1, I wouldn't rule that out before deadline day.
Okay, one final one on the list then. It's been doing the rounds today. James Wilson. He's been linked with a few different clubs, potential loans. Derby, they are the odds-on favourites, 10-11. Fulham, they're 3-1. And Brighton, of course, where he spent some time before, at 10s. Dave, you think this would be... Well, do you think this, rather, would be a good move back to the Championship?
Yeah, I do. James Wilson did very well at Brighton last year, not just in terms of his goal scoring. He netted 5 times when he was only on loan there for part of the season, but also his overall play, very quick, good link-up play, intuitive understanding of the game for quite a young player. Yeah, I think it would be. I don't think he's going to get a huge amount of game time at United this season. Martial's going to be a regular. Rashford's already broken through. That's something which has already, I think, hindered Wilson's development in terms of getting first-team game time, and part of the reason he was on loan at Brighton last season. So I don't think it would benefit his game really to stay in the 21s. I think he's sort of got the kind of physical makeup to handle it at Championship level. I think it'd be a really good move for him. I think Derby, probably of the three, are maybe most in need of a goal scorer. Only scored twice in their 4 competitive games so far this season. And, you know, it's a big club, quite a lot of pressure. They've been expected to go up for a few years now, and it hasn't happened for them in the playoffs and so on. So I think it'd be, as well, quite a good way for, I suppose, quite a young player still to mature, to be playing under that sort of pressure and expectation. So looks like it'll be Derby. As I say, I think it'd be a good move for Wilson, the Championship, and Derby in particular. And, you know, it'd be a good striker to play alongside someone bit more experienced like Darren Bent.
Okay, just finally then, let's get the word from PR from Alex Donoghue. A deadline day teaser, if you like. What people can expect from us? We've already know from your list of, well, Crystal Palace supporting mates and journalist contacts, you're a man in the know. So let's get your thoughts on what could be an incredible day. And I know we always hype up deadline day, but this one could actually be pretty decent. Arsenal need players, we've already explained that. Everyone's got money, so should we expect the unexpected?
Let's hope so. You're absolutely right. The last couple of deadline days have been a bit of a damp squib, getting to the point where people think, how do we reach peak deadline day? Is it all over? Is it a bit of a fad? But I think this could still spring a few surprises. I think you're absolutely right. Everyone's got money. Lots of clubs will be playing their cards late. There are lots of clubs that still need to do business. And from a betting perspective, what we'll have is we will have our main trader in all night and all day doing all the markets. So make sure you get onto ladbrokes.com. Ladbrokes News will be covering all the updates from the spurious to the dead certs and everything in between. We'll be bringing you everything as it happens. What we'll also be doing is any player that you think, I've just seen them in a service station, or I've seen them leaning up a car, or I think they're on their way. If we haven't got it priced up, get your tweets into us at Ladbrokes. We'll be updating all the transfer markets live throughout the day. It will be the only place to be following Ladbrokes news and our stuff on social media. We'll be there till the very end, and we're greatly looking forward to it. Like I say, if any of those deals we've mentioned could be pulled off, I think that would definitely put transfer deadline day right back up there as one of the best days of the year. Dave?
I was just trying to say, on Alex's point, obviously, you know, we'll be trusting your tips as well, so we won't be questioning if you've seen Adebayor buying a fridge in Yeovil or something, whatever it is. We'll give you the odds for that.
I really do hope we see Emmanuel Adebayor buying a fridge in Yeovil. That would be peak deadline day. All right, great stuff. Looking forward to all of that. August the 31st, of course, this summer. That just about wraps things up. Thanks very much for your expert input once again. That's all from us. As Alex said, don't forget, keep logging on to news.ladbrokes.com for all the latest transfer news, gossip and specials, and head to ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds. We'll be back again on deadline day, and we'll catch you again next time.
Ladbrokes wants you to enjoy gambling in a fun and responsible manner. If gambling has stopped being fun for you, please visit www.gambleaware.co.uk.